The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, man, it was a great weekend. Got to see Ice Cube and Snoop Dogg and E-40 and Too Short on Friday night. And let me tell y'all, that was a great fucking show. It was so nice to get back out and see no masks in sight and just have a full-ass crowd and everybody just having a good time. And, man, they put on such a great show, man. If you don't know, Mount Westmore is the rap supergroup of the California OG rappers of Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg, E-40, and Too Short. And they've really released a few singles so far, and they're supposed to be releasing a new album here in the coming months. No release date yet, but still. Basically what they did, it was just such a fucking awesome way to see a show, too. I didn't really know what to expect from what they were going to do. And basically what they ended up doing is they performed, they started the show off performing with each other. And then they basically just did this round robin of performing some of their greatest hits just throughout. And it was like, you know, it started off with all four of them, and then Too Short did Blow the Whistle, and then E-40 came out and did Tell Me When to Go, and then Ice Cube came out, and then Snoop Dogg came out, and then they just went from there, and it was just kind of like a cool rotation of them playing their greatest songs, and it was just a fucking great-ass time. And I can't even imagine just how bad it smelled like weed out there, too, because you could see in the lights just the weed smoke just lifting and emanating into the air. And of course, some of that was my weed smoke, of course, too. But just that was such a great show. And Ice Cube never disappoints. Like I said, that was the first time I've ever seen Snoop Dogg, E-40, or Too Short. And they put on a great show, too. So it was a great show to see all the OGs out there killing it. And it was great to just have a nice night of normal and get back to shows and having fun. But I do have a cool new announcement. If you can't get enough of me and my stupid opinions, well, you're in luck because I have now officially signed up for a new show. It's going to be called What's Poppin' Austin. It's through a company called Pop Austin Media. They're in the entertainment world down here in Austin, and they interview models and rappers and local artists, and they've been doing that for a while now, but now they're starting a new show called What's Poppin' Austin. Basically, I'm going to be one of the three co-hosts. It's going to be me. Another co-host is Jet. He works for Pop Austin Media. He's been doing interviews with them, just interviewing other artists and entertainers around town. And then also True Prophecy, he's a local rapper here in Austin, and it's going to be the three of us, and we're basically just going to be talking about music, sports, entertainment, and basically whatever's going on in Austin at the time. And you'll be able to catch us live every Wednesday night on the Pop Austin Media YouTube channel, and we're going to give it 8 episodes. See how it goes. But yeah, if you can't get enough of me and my dumbass opinion, well, guess what? You're in luck, because now I got another show. Now I got 3 shows, motherfucker. Been doing Simon's show and then do my own podcast here. And then now I'm going to be doing a 3rd show. So if you can't get enough of me and my opinion, well, guess what? Here is show number 3. So look out for that this coming Wednesday. Then also, unfortunately, my fantasy hockey teams took a big old shit on me this week. All 3 of them, I lost, so that sucks. But luckily, my 4th fantasy hockey league, we just started our playoffs this week, and I am the number 1 overall seed, bitches. So yeah, I'm in the playoffs, and I'm going up against Team Little Ball of Hate. So it's Team Knock 'Em Out. That's me versus Little Ball of Hate. And I don't usually get too excited over being the number one seed because this has actually happened to me quite a few times in many different fantasy leagues where I've absolutely dominated the regular season and I've been the number one seed, and then I lose the first round in the playoffs. So I'm not getting too cocky because I'm the number one seed, because believe me, I've been knocked the fuck out right quick. Hey, I'm fucking happy that I'm still in it, because in my other three leagues, I was so pissed. I was close in a couple of them, and then the other one, I got my ass kicked. So that's fantasy hockey for you. All right, and then we had some somber NFL news this weekend. Dwayne Haskins, the backup quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, unfortunately passed away this weekend. He was the details aren't that clear. Basically, he was on the highway, walking on the highway, and he was hit by a dump truck. And I would assume he was killed immediately. I mean, he was hit by a dump truck. So, I will say from personal experience, I have been to Florida many times. I actually love Florida. It's a great weather, got great restaurants. I think it's a fun place to be. But I will tell you this. Florida is not known for their good drivers. So I'm not really surprised that something like this happened. As a matter of fact, this kind of shit actually happens a lot in Florida, where really horrifying car accidents or people who are, there's this thing called the Bright Line, where it's this really fast moving train. And people actually try to outrun this train rather than just stop. And so there's been many deaths because of this. So yeah, Florida and their drivers are not very smart. So that's my personal take on this situation here, is that I'm not really surprised that something like this happened. But it is awful for Dwayne Haskins and his family. He was only 24 years old. And yeah, this is that's just a really awful story. And I just wish the best for his family and hope they can hopefully move on. I mean, obviously, you can't really move on from that. But, you know, whatever peace they can get, hopefully they can get some. All right. And then also something interesting happened this weekend in the NFL. It wasn't really a move or anything, but a story came out. And I haven't really, like, I'm not the type of person who really cares about drama in sports. I really mostly just care about the actual sport itself and what's going on in the sport. But if there's an interesting story that happens and it turns out to be true, I'm happy to talk about it, especially this story. And I mostly want to talk about it just because of the organization that is involved, because I actually do love to laugh at their follies, and that would be the Miami Dolphins. Basically, a story came out this weekend that apparently Tom Brady was going to become a part owner of the Miami Dolphins. And it was possible that he was going to at least take this year off and then maybe come back next year and play quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. So they were actually going to get Sean Payton to come out and be the coach there. I guess that kind of explains his abrupt retirement, if you will, with the Saints. But I guess that kind of explains Tom Brady's abrupt retirement as well, and abrupt return thereafter. So basically what happened was this whole thing was going to go down, and then Brian Flores ended up suing the NFL, and then so Tom Brady backed out of that shit, was like, nah, that's good. And then kind of worked out something with the started talking with the owners of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers again, kind of talking about how he wanted to come back. And so Tommy boy is back. But that is just a funny story to me, just because that's the Miami Dolphins for you. They don't know how to make anything work. And they're just a horribly run organization. And that's a typical story that you will find throughout the Miami Dolphins history, at least especially within the last, 20 plus years. That's kind of their been their MO, is they're a really poorly run organization. And that's just another story about how poorly run they are. So Tom Brady's back in Tampa because of that. And Sean Payton is just going to chill for this year. I'm sure he's going to have plenty of job opportunities come next year. But I just found that to be a very interesting story. You know, there's been all this, we've all been wondering, you know, what the hell made Tom Brady retire to begin with and then unretire so quickly. And that story kind of pieces at least one piece of the puzzle together. And same with Sean Payton, too, because it was so abrupt. And you know, you could look at it and go, well, the Saints, it looked like they ran the course, but it was just such a weird way to retire just randomly like that. And so this entire story makes things a lot more sense in with that story. And then this weekend we had baseball. It was opening weekend and it was so great. I just watched baseball all freaking weekend. There were a lot of good games. There were a lot of walk-offs. There were a couple fights. It was just a great weekend of baseball. And there's something cool that I actually saw that MLB is now implementing this year. And when I saw it, I saw it last night on Sunday Night Baseball when I was watching the Yankees versus the Red Sox. But there's this new signal calling device. And when I saw it, I'm like, how have we not been using this for a while now? And basically what it is the catchers have like this little pad, this little keypad that has like, I guess, 9 buttons on it. And they place it on the front of their knee pad. So when they're knelt down, they hit whatever button it is. And whatever button it is basically the pitch that they want to throw. And so, and it's not just in the pitcher's ear, because there's this device that this keypad's connected to. And basically what it does is it tells the pitcher and some of the infielders what the play is, what the play is going to be, instead of calling it with your hands. Now, not every team has started using this, but when I was watching it last night, I'm like, wow, how has that not been around? You would think that would have been invented a while ago, but they're using it this year. Obviously, it's because of the whole Astros and Red Sox cheating scandal of stealing signs over the last few seasons. So that's obviously a way to alleviate it, because basically what you do is when the catcher's knelt down, he's got the little device on his knee pad, and so he's kind of covering it up with his mitt, but he's also pressing whatever button he wants to press, like curveball, fastball. You could program it to tell them to shift, or just whatever type of play you'd like to have the team do. But I just found it to be odd that it's just now being implemented now. But then again, baseball is always kind of a antiquated game. They're all about like, we've always done it this way, so we got to keep doing it this way. And I just kind of feel like, well, if you don't want people to steal signs, this is actually probably the best way to go about it, because now they can't steal your signs. So I thought that was a very interesting thing to see. And when I watch it, I'm like, where has this been all these years? And then also this weekend, one of my favorite things is when we get to see the championship ring. And the Braves championship ring did not disappoint. Now, let me first say, I'm not really much of a jewelry person. I do like watches. I love me some Rolexes or Philippe Pateks. I love looking at beautiful watches. I can't get enough of beautiful watches. But as far as jewelry goes, I'm not really a big jewelry person. But when I see these championship rings, they're beautiful. And I would totally love to have one. And the Braves ring did not disappoint. Usually, as a matter of fact, it kind of feels like every new championship team that rolls through, their ring just gets better and better, and it's like they have to one-up whoever the last champion was. And the Braves, man, it did not disappoint. First of all, it has 18.71 carats of white gold, and the 18.71 signifies the inception of the Atlanta Braves in 1871. Then it also has 150 diamonds, which also represents 150 years that the Braves have been around. Then they also has one pearl on there as well to signify Jock Peterson was wearing a pearl necklace throughout the entire playoff run. It was kind of like their little good luck charm. So they added a pearl on the side of the ring. And just if you like this kind of stuff, go take a look at it. It's a beautiful ring. It's got so much. What I always love about these rings is just how intricately designed they are, and how basically every piece of the ring matters. Hank Aaron, he used to play for the Braves, he died last year. And so they actually, of course, had to add some little shout outs to Hank Aaron within the ring. So they did that as well. And it's just a very beautiful, well thought out ring. And go take a look at it if you want to. And then, like I said, we had a bunch of great games this weekend. The Yankees absolutely dominated the Red Sox. Giancarlo Stanton, that dude, he just was hitting them out of the park this entire weekend. He just had a great weekend. And then Anthony Rizzo also had a great weekend against the Red Sox as well. The Red Sox did not get swept. Ended up winning last night. But the Yanks, they pretty much dominated the Red Sox. And Stanton came out hot this week. So if he's able to stay healthy, watch out for that dude. Then also another team who had a good weekend were the Kansas City Royals, a great start, especially with their two young guys, Witt. He had a walk-off in the first game, and then I believe in the second game he had another big hit as well. So their rookie, he comes right in and makes his mark. And then Mondesi, he also had a game-winning hit, I believe, in the second game. So Kansas City's off to a great start. Then somebody who I'm extremely shocked is off to a great start is the New York Mets. They absolutely dominated the Nationals this weekend. Alonso had a grand slam. Max Scherzer, this is his old team. And while he didn't have his typical dominating pitching start, he still had a great start. And just overall, the Mets absolutely dominated the Nationals from start to finish. And they just had a great weekend of baseball. Then, of course, my San Francisco Giants, they also had a great weekend of baseball. They had, Carlos Rodon. He came in game two. Even though he lost that game, he came in and he was just lighting people up. He was striking everybody out that game. So I'm really excited to see what this guy's got the rest of the season. He looks like he's going to be our ace. I mean, the way he was wheeling and dealing on Saturday, whew. That was something else. And then Joey Bart comes in first game on Friday, hits a home run. So that's great to see from the rookie catcher who's taken over for Buster Posey. And then Elliot Ramos, he is one of our top prospects. He got called up this weekend, and he came right in. Was it Saturday or Sunday? It might have actually been Sunday when he came in for his first game. And his first at-bat had a base hit. So actually had two base hits that day. So Giants had a very solid weekend. It was only against the Miami Marlins, but hey, they look good to me, especially Rodon. And then Houston absolutely dominated the Angels this weekend. Houston does not look like they've lost a step at all. So we'll see what they've got the rest of the season. And then I'll be doing MLB power rankings this year. But obviously, since we only got a weekend's worth of baseball, I'm not going to start it till next week when we have a full week of baseball in. And then just another baseball note, the Tampa Bay Tarpons, whose manager is Rachel Balcovic, the first female baseball manager in any level of baseball. She's in the low A class. They actually had a good weekend. They took their series 2-1. They won the first game of the series, which was her first game as the manager. And so congratulations to her, and hopefully they keep it up. I don't know if y'all have ever seen, if you have seen her guns, and by guns, I mean her arms. Jesus Christ, she makes me want to work out, and let me tell you, I work out every fucking day, and I've got guns. I've got some other fucking guns, too, but when I saw her arms, I was like, shit, man, I'm gonna have to go hit the gym, because, she's got some really solid fucking arms, but I guess you would expect that from an ex-hitting coach. Yeah, she's gotta have some guns to hit. All right, now let's move on to NBA. First, before we get to the playoffs, let's just end the whole Lakers suck shtick I've been doing since the All-Star break. Because they finally stuck their nail in the coffin, the final nail in the coffin, by firing Frank Vogel today. I mean, we all knew it was coming. Like I stated in the last episode before, I'm not really attached to Frank Vogel. I don't really care that we let him go. It wouldn't hurt to have a new coach, but at the same time, this has just been a shit show from start to finish. And honestly, Frank Vogel wasn't the only problem. We all know that. But he's the sacrificial goat at this point in time. And, He is no longer the coach of the Lakers today. So we'll see what the Lakers do. I'm sure it's going to be a mess, like it always is. The names that they're throwing out there, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, you're not really walking into a great team or a great situation. You're walking into an old-ass GM, LeBron, and I don't know what's going to happen there. But luckily, the season is over for them, and I don't have to talk about them anymore until they hire a new coach and we see what happens there. But for now, let's talk about good teams and teams that have moved on to the postseason. And it is one of my favorite times of years. I always love playoff time, no matter what the sport is. But now we got NBA playoffs, and I love NBA playoff time, regardless of whether the Lakers are playing or not. It's always a great time to watch just endless amounts of basketball all day, all week. But let's also talk about the NBA leaders who ended the season. Let's see, the scoring leader ended up being Joel Embiid, who averaged 30.6 points per game. And he is also the first center to win the scoring title since Shaquille O'Neal when he was with the Los Angeles Lakers over 20 years ago. So that's a pretty big deal. And I'm glad he did it. I mean, he's been having a great season. In my personal opinion, that's who I would pick for MVP, just because his team has been dominant all season long. He's been the focal point, and he's just had literally his best season that he's ever had in the league. And I expect him to have continue this on into the playoffs. So he's the scoring leader. The rebound leader ended up being Rudy Gobert, the center of the Utah Jazz. He ended up with averaging 14.7 rebounds per game. Then the assist leader, Chris Paul, point guard for the Suns. He ended up averaging 10.8 assists per game. And then the three-point leader was Steph Curry with 285. And really the only reason why I mentioned this is because Steph Curry's been injured for a few weeks now, and he still ended up with the three-point leader at the end of the season. That just goes to show what a killer he is behind the three-point line. But he definitely needs to get back because Golden State has not been the same since he has been injured. They actually kind of were falling off before he got injured, but man, they really need him. And now that we got playoffs coming up, they're definitely going to need him. And they're not really sure if he's going to be playing game one, so we'll see what happens there. But let's get into the NBA playoffs. So I'll talk about the play-in games, what I expect from them this week. I'll make predictions on those. But then once I do that, I'm also going to make predictions all the way through each and every round, and we'll see where we end up once we hit the NBA Finals. So let's start off with the Western Conference play-in games. First matchup is going to be the Los Angeles Clippers versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Clippers have actually started to look pretty good since Paul George came back from injury. But I think the Minnesota Timberwolves, they've just been playing much more consistent basketball, especially over the last 2 months. They've been playing really well. Karl Anthony Towns has been playing at basically an MVP level. I wouldn't give him the MVP, but he's been playing that good. The team's been winning. And so I'm taking Minnesota in that matchup. Then the second Western Conference playoff game is the San Antonio Spurs versus the New Orleans Pelicans. The Spurs, they're not really that good of a team. They don't really have a star player who I think is able to actually shine and take over in a playoff spot. Whereas the Pelicans, they've actually been playing really good basketball over the last month and a half, especially since they traded for CJ McCollum. He's really added a great presence in the paint, and they've actually looked pretty good. Same with Brandon Ingram. He came back from injury. So I'm actually going to take the Pelicans in this one because, like I said, the Spurs, just not that good of a team. I don't even think they're going to put up that good of a fight against the Pelicans. So that would make my second play-in game. That would be the Los Angeles Clippers versus New Orleans Pelicans. And then in that matchup, I would also take the Pelicans once again, just because I think they've been playing more consistent basketball, and the Clippers, they're still kind of finding their way. So then the Eastern Conference play-in, the first game is the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Brooklyn Nets. I think this sucks for the Cavaliers just because they get Brooklyn right off the bat. Brooklyn has finally found their groove. You know, now that Durant's back from injury, now that Kyrie Irving can play every game, they are in a nice groove. Now, I don't know if they're capable of making a playoff run, especially towards the finals. But they're still a good team, and I actually think they're going to kick the crap out of Cleveland. While I think Cleveland's had a great season, I just don't think they're going to show up against Brooklyn in that matchup. And then the second play-in game in the Eastern Conference is the Charlotte Hornets versus the Atlanta Hawks. I've got Atlanta winning this matchup just because Atlanta is doing what Atlanta always does, especially these last, you know, like five-ish years. They usually turn it on at the right time, and it's always playoff time. And they always tend to make this crazy run, and they always have some weird upset. Now, they're not good enough to win the championship, of course, but they are good enough to definitely beat the Hornets. And so I think Atlanta's going to definitely win this Eastern Conference playoff matchup against the Hornets. So then that would make my second play-in game in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Atlanta Hawks. And once again, I would take Atlanta in this matchup just because I think Atlanta's the better team. And right now they're playing well, and Trey is playing great as well. So when you see him, he's playoff Trey, man. He turns it on when he needs to, and this is the time of year when he does. So I think Atlanta would beat Cleveland in that matchup. So let me go ahead and so my first round in the Western Conference would end up being the New Orleans Pelicans versus the Phoenix Suns. And the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Memphis Grizzlies, the Utah Jazz versus the Dallas Mavericks, and the Denver Nuggets versus the Golden State Warriors. So in the first matchup, New Orleans Pelicans versus the Phoenix Suns, I have Phoenix winning that one easy. I mean, Phoenix to me is the best team in the playoffs, and while they're known for choking, I don't think this would be the round they would end up choking. The Pelicans have played much better basketball up to this point. But Phoenix is just, they're just too good, and I don't see them losing the first round. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked if that ended up being a straight sweep. Then in the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Memphis Grizzlies, I have Memphis winning that one as well. They're just too good. Minnesota, I think, will make it a decent series. They might get a win or two, but Memphis is just too good. And now that Ja's back and healthy, I just kind of expect them to make a deep playoff run, and I don't expect them to be one and done, especially against Minnesota. And they played well even without Ja, and they played. Memphis Grizzlies play great team basketball, and that's what you call winning basketball. It's one of the reasons why the Boston Celtics are playing so well right now as well, because they know how to play all team basketball. It doesn't just revolve around the one star. They play 100% team basketball, and so I think Memphis would win that matchup against the Timberwolves. Then in the next matchup, the Utah Jazz versus the Dallas Mavericks. This one is tough. I think this one's going to end up being like a 7-game series. I do have Dallas winning this one just because I think Luka Doncic is playing at a whole other level now. He did just get injured last night. It was a calf injury. We don't know. I don't expect him to really miss any time. It didn't look that serious, but it could affect him as well. Utah are no chumps. They, you know, Gobert, he is a beast in the middle. Donovan Mitchell, he's great during the playoffs too. That's his bread and butter over the last couple of seasons, is he's been great in the playoffs. So Dallas better not sleep on them, but I just see Luka. He's been playing great basketball. The Mavericks play great defense, and I think they are going to win. I think they're going to beat the Utah Jazz in a 7-game series. And then the last matchup in the Western Conference first round, the Denver Nuggets versus the Golden State Warriors. I think this one will probably go 6 or 7. I think Denver, they're a good team. They're mostly just Jokic though. And, he's had a phenomenal season, definitely an MVP worthy season. But I just think Golden State's experience, if they happen to get Steph Curry back, that's definitely going to be a big boost. Klay Thompson, you know, he's just been getting better each and every week. Draymond's back. So I just kind of feel like their experience is going to outweigh whatever the Denver Nuggets have. And like I said, the Denver Nuggets are mostly just driven by Jokic. And I think it's just going to be too much for him to carry them on into the next series. So I've got Golden State moving on in that one. And so over in the Eastern Conference, my first round matchups look like this. We've got Atlanta Hawks versus the Miami Heat, Brooklyn Nets versus the Boston Celtics, then the Toronto Raptors versus the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Chicago Bulls versus the Milwaukee Bucks. So in the first matchup, Atlanta Hawks versus the Miami Heat, I have Miami winning that one. Miami, they're just playing great basketball. They played great basketball all season long. They did have that little lull. They did have that 4-game losing streak about 2-3 weeks ago, but they bounced right back from that. And while I think Atlanta's a good team and they can shake shit up, I still think Miami's the better team, and I think Miami will get that the win in that series in probably about 6 games. Then the Brooklyn Nets versus the Boston Celtics. This should be a very good matchup just because Brooklyn is playing good basketball right now, but Boston Celtics, they have been the hottest team since January. Since 2022 hit, the Boston Celtics can't be stopped, and they're just a damn good team right now. And so I expect this to be a hard-fought series, but I think the Boston Celtics will have a little bit too much firepower. While I love Kevin Durant and he's a killer during the postseason, I just think the Celtics as a team, they're a better overall team, and I think they'll get the better of them, especially on the defensive side of things. On defense, the Celtics have one of the best defenses in the league, whereas Brooklyn Nets do not. They are pretty much all offense. So I think the Celtics will get the win in that series. I'm looking at probably a 7-game series in that one. Then Toronto Raptors versus the Philadelphia 76ers. While Toronto has had a great run so far, especially the last month of basketball, the Philadelphia 76ers have just dominated all season long. Joel Embiid, like I said, I think he's the MVP in my opinion, and I expect him to just have a completely dominant series, and I really don't expect Toronto to really be much of a threat in this one. They might win one game, but that's all I would give them. So I got Philadelphia winning that one in 5. And then the final matchup, the Chicago Bulls versus the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bulls, they started the season off really strong, and then the injuries hit, and they've just been up and down, up and down. They've been way too inconsistent. While DeMar DeRozan has had a spectacular season, I just don't think they're going to be able to compete against the Bucks. You know, the Bucks, these are the defending champions. Giannis Antetokounmpo has... I don't know what has gotten into him, but the last month of basketball, this dude has been going off, and he seems to be just getting better with each and every game that goes on. So I actually kind of feel sorry for the Bulls that their first matchup is going to be the Bucks, because I have a feeling that Giannis is just going to take over. The Bucks are going to absolutely obliterate the Bulls, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Bulls only get 1, possibly 2 wins in this series. But I got Milwaukee running all over them in that one. All right, and then so in the Western Conference, my semifinals matchups would be the Dallas Mavericks versus the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors versus the Memphis Grizzlies. And so in those matchups, the first matchup, the Dallas Mavericks versus the Phoenix Suns, while I think it would be a great matchup to see, this is where I think Luka's going to run into some trouble because the Suns have too much firepower. You know, they got Chris Paul, they've got Ayton, and they're just way too good. And Devin Booker, of course, I didn't even mention him. And he's really the dude. I mean, in my opinion, he's also an MVP candidate. So I just think that the Suns have way too much going on, and the Mavericks don't. They really only have Luka. They play great defense, but I don't think they're going to be able to compete against the Suns. And I actually think this would be a pretty quick series, probably 5-6 games at the most. But I got Phoenix moving on in that one. Then the second matchup in my semifinals would be the Golden State Warriors versus the Memphis Grizzlies. I think the Memphis Grizzlies in this matchup would still keep it rolling. I like what the Golden State Warriors have. You know, they're a great veteran squad. They know how to win. But the Grizzlies have just been playing spectacular basketball from start to finish this season. They seem to have really bought into the system. And they're just, like I said, playing great team basketball. So I think they will get the best of the Warriors. I think it will be a good matchup. But I think the Memphis Grizzlies will win in something like 6 games in that series. Then so my semifinals in the Eastern Conference would be the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Miami Heat. So in the first matchup, Milwaukee Bucks versus the Boston Celtics, this I think is a great matchup. And I think this, especially in the Eastern Conference, this is two heavily defensive teams with some high-scoring, high-powered offensive players as well. And but I just think the Milwaukee Bucks experience and just the way Giannis is playing, I could see how he's playing. Right now, Giannis is locked in. You could tell he's been in championship mode for the last month for sure. And he's made sure that he's getting his team in position to get back to the finals. And I think that's what they're going to do here. I think it will be a great series against Boston. I think it would go seven, but I think Milwaukee will get the better of the Celtics just because of the experience and just because I see the way Giannis has been playing the last month or so. And then the second matchup in the semifinals, Eastern Conference semifinals, I have the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Miami Heat. This one I think would actually be a pretty quick series just because I think the 76ers are that good of a team. Miami, I don't think could really compete on the defensive side, and I don't think they have anybody who can match up against Embiid. Because Embiid is not only a great defender, but he, obviously, I just said, he led the league in scoring this year. So he can hit a three-pointer. That's what type of big dude he is. He can hit a fucking three-pointer. He can also knock down his free throws, too. So he's a dude who can score at any given time, and I just don't think Miami has anybody who can match up with Embiid. I think they could keep up scoring-wise, but I don't think they have anybody who could keep up with Embiid. And so I think the 76ers would move on in that series in probably about five, maybe six games. All right, so my Western Conference Finals, I have the Memphis Grizzlies versus the Phoenix Suns, the two best teams in the Western Conference this year, arguably the two best teams, really. And I think this would be a great matchup. But in the end, I just think Phoenix, they're the best team this year. Hands down, I think this is their championship to lose. While I think there's some great teams in both the Western and Eastern conferences, Phoenix has just dominated from start to finish. They're hands down the best team in the league. And while I think Memphis has played a great season, I think this is where they will hit their wall. And I think Phoenix will take care of business in six games in the Western Conference Finals and move on to the NBA Finals for the second year in a row. And then my Eastern Conference Finals matchup, Philadelphia 76ers versus the Milwaukee Bucks. And this one I actually did go back and forth on, but like I said, I can see Giannis is in championship mode. And so that, when I see a player playing like that, it's really difficult for me to pick against them. I've seen it so many times where just a player just gets in that zone, especially if they've already won a championship. You could just tell. They get that look on their face. They're just ready to go each and every game. And that's what I see with Giannis right now. And while I think the 76ers are a great team, they're playing great basketball, and I think Joel Embiid is a great player, at some point, I have a feeling James Harden, his old ways are going to come back. And what his old ways are is he's horrible come playoff time. And I have a feeling that's what's going to end up happening, is that Milwaukee's defense will key in on James Harden, put everything onto Joel Embiid, and the 76ers won't be able to keep up for an entire series with that kind of pressure on Embiid. And so I actually think we're going to get a repeat of last year's NBA Finals between the Phoenix Suns versus the Milwaukee Bucks. I really didn't think I'd end up that route either, but just the kind of the way the matchups look. And like I said, you know, with Giannis, just the way he's playing, is he's locked in. And so just looking at these matchups and what I feel from them, I just see the Milwaukee Bucks rolling through that Eastern Conference. And then, you know, like I said about the Suns, they're easily the best team in the league. So I see them rolling through the Western Conference with no issues, really. And so my NBA Finals matchup, Phoenix Suns versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Who do I got winning this one? Well, you know what? I have the Phoenix Suns getting some revenge this year. I think last year it's usually something that you always remember. And if you're a good team, you take that loss from last year and you just sear it in your brain, and that's what motivates you on your run for this year. And that's what I see with the Suns. And especially if they end up facing the Bucks again, I think they're going to be even more extra motivated. Now, like I can continue to say about Giannis, he's playing at a whole other level. But I just kind of see the Suns putting it together. They'll play better defensively this time around. And I think the Phoenix Suns will end up getting the win against the Milwaukee Bucks. And I ultimately think our NBA champion is going to be the Phoenix Suns, who will finally win their very first NBA championship. Something that the Phoenix Suns fans have been waiting on a long time. I will say, out of all of the Arizona teams, the majority of them, they don't have really good fans. They're kind of fair weather fans who usually just only hop on the bandwagon if they happen to get good. Like, you only see Diamondbacks fans when they're a decent team, which hasn't been in a long time, but when they're a good team, they actually have fans out there. Same with the Cardinals. Nobody usually goes to Cardinals games, but all of a sudden everybody's a big-ass Cardinals fan this year. But the Phoenix Suns fans, they're different. And the reason why I know this is because they're in the same division with the Lakers, and they used to have those rivalry years, especially with Kobe Bryant. And, you know, they had Amari Stoudemire and Steve Nash with the Suns. And then Rajah Bell, him and Kobe would go at each other every year. That was one of the best rivalries in sports. So, but Phoenix Suns fans have always been very good fans. They always attend their games. And they've always been diehard since the beginning. Even when their team chokes in the playoffs like they normally do, they're still around. So Phoenix Suns fans definitely deserve to see their team win a championship. And I think this year is finally going to be that year. And like I said, I don't think it's going to actually be that much of a difficult road for the Suns, because I just think they're that good. Milwaukee is probably going to be their toughest test. Maybe the Grizzlies, but I think out of all these matchups I've got going right now, I think their toughest test would be against Milwaukee, just because of Giannis. But other than that, I think overall they're the best team in the league. They've dominated from start to finish, and their loss last year has got to stick with them, and I think they'll get the job done this year. Those are my predictions for the upcoming NBA playoffs. We'll see how it plays out. We've got a long time to go. The play-in starts tomorrow with the first two games of the Clippers versus the Timberwolves and the Cavaliers versus the Nets. Then Wednesday, we've got the Spurs versus the Pelicans and the Hornets versus the Hawks. And then we roll all the way until June. That's when the NBA Finals are. So we've got a couple months here of some great, excellent basketball. I'm looking forward to seeing what we got going in these play-in games. And then Friday, I'll just get into the actual matchups, the final matchups in the first round. I don't really think any of my outcomes will change, but we'll see how my predictions go, and we'll see what we end up with. And enjoy the NBA playoffs this week, and all the great baseball we got going on, guys. I'll talk to you on Friday.